Hello, this is our daily reading for Friday, April 10th. We are going to start in John chapter 10, verse 22. John 10, verse 22. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and Scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." Again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. Many came to him, and they said, "John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true." And many believed in him there. Well, as we started out in verse 22, it says this is the time for the Feast of Dedication. The Feast of Dedication was instituted by Judas Maccabeus in the year 164 B.C., 3 years before that, Antiochus Epiphanes had come in and taken the city, killed 40,000 people, and then sold 40,000 more into slavery. And then he goes and sacrifices a sow on the altar of burnt offerings, makes a broth out of that, sprinkles it all over the temple and all over the grounds and everything. So his intention was to desecrate the temple. So that was in 167. In 164, they take the temple back, and they go through a purification ritual for 8 days in order to overcome that desecration. They did some more decoration and stuff. Josephus calls it the Feast of Lights because the city was illuminated, expressing their joy. And that feast was on the 25th day of Chislu, which would be about the 15th of December by our calendar. So just to give you a little background there, this is not one of the feasts that you'd see under the given law of Moses, but something that was instituted during that period of silence that we studied some time back. All right, so Jesus is walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. This would also be referred to as Solomon's Porch, that was on the east side of the temple. They come to him and they ask this question, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Well, this question is out of order, really, because Jesus has already talked and demonstrated about his role as the Son of God and as the Christ. In chapter 7 and verse 31, it says that many of the people believed in him, and they said, "When the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done?" So a recognition that there's been plenty of signs to declare him as being the Son of God and the Christ. Jesus answers and says, "I told you, and you do not believe." Well, it does not matter how plainly something can be told to us. If we decide that I'm not willing to believe, we won't believe. That's part of the difficulty, especially when we deal with someone that's close to us that is an unbeliever. We love them, and so we want to convince them. We want to show them that salvation is through Jesus and how badly they need that salvation. But if they've already decided they're not going to believe it, it really doesn't matter what you and I will say, just as it didn't matter what Jesus himself said. But he makes this statement. He says, the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. We've talked about that witnessing of God the Father and of the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. And it says, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. So this same idea we talked about yesterday with the Good Shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So that same idea that we talked about yesterday about the Good Shepherd not only sacrificing his life for the sheep, but here he's talking about giving them life. And those two go hand in hand. But this idea, no one will snatch them out of my hand, I've always looked at that as comforting, because no one can forcibly make me leave God. No one can force me to be an unbeliever. No one can force me to give up my faith. If I give up my faith, if I wander away from God, it is only by my own choice. No one can force me to do that. No one has the power to snatch us away from Jesus. And so he says, verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Again, emphasizing this unity that we've been talking about from time to time, and emphasizing the power of God, that no one can change God's plan, no one can amend it, no one can turn it into something else, and that means that what God's will be done. And of course, as soon as he makes this statement, I and the Father are one, it says the Jews picked up stones to stone him, considering that he's doing blasphemy. But Jesus asks this question, I have shown you many good works from the Father. Okay, there's the witnessing. For which of them are you going to stone me? So I've done these good works, and they can only be done if they come from the Father. So which of those things from the Father would you like to stone me for? And I think it's an appropriate question. It's an ingenious question to point out that they are going against the evidence that they see right in front of them. And they say, well, it's not for a good work that we're going to stone you, but for blasphemy. Well, it would be blasphemy if he made that statement just by itself, glorifying himself. But here he makes this statement based on the good works, that is, the witnessing that the Father has done. Could it then also be someone who is committing blasphemy if God's backing them up? No, it can't be, and that's really the point. Verse 34, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I say I am the Son of God? Now here he quotes from Psalm 82 and verse 6, you are God, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit the nations. Now he's not talking about some supernatural powerful being calling them gods. He's talking about a position and a dignity, and then points out their mortality, taking away that idea that they could be some supernatural being. Jesus is using this just to point out that it's not the word itself that is the issue. The word God can be used in a few different forms. But that's when he goes on to say, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated, Jesus, that consecrated is got that idea of set aside for that pure and divine purpose, and then sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God. Again, this would be true to say he's blaspheming if he did not have the witness of God and the Spirit behind him. But he does, so then the word should be accepted. But he's saying in verse 37, if I'm not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. They can't deny he's doing the works that are from God because they can see God's power behind it. Verse 38, but if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So that's where he backs up that statement, I and the Father are one, and then uses this logic for them to be able to deduce that they cannot stone him for blasphemy when they can see these particular works. And even if they don't believe him, believe the works, because you know where that came from. You know where that power comes from. And of course, now they're not going to stone him, but they do seek to arrest him. But it's not time for that. And remember, I told you before that when Jesus is arrested and then taken and put on a mock trial and then taken to the Roman government and then taken and crucified, that was only because he allowed it. It was then part of God's plan for those things to happen. Here, it's not part of God's plan. It's not time for this. So he does not allow it. Verse 40, he went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. Many came to him, that is, they followed him, they sought him out. And they said, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true, and many believed in him there. You know, we need to be true seekers of God. You know, we need to be like those people that went out of their way to go and discover Jesus and know Jesus. We need to be those that are willing to, inconvenience ourselves. We're willing to put in the work and the effort because we truly seek what he is offering. I would remind you of Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We are to be seekers of God. I implore you to seek God out today in your meditations, your thoughts, your prayers, your Bible readings, everything that you do today. Seek God in everything. It doesn't matter if you go out for a walk down the street. Look at the beauty of nature in this springtime despite our isolation and notice that God's creation is truly wonderful to behold. Think about him and seek him out in everything that you see and in what you do. You know, think about even in this isolation that God has granted to us the intelligence to have doctors that are trying to discover treatments and resolutions for the virus that is going around. We've been able to make protections for ourselves and sanitizers and all these various things. You know, you can find God in almost everything except evil itself. And so we need to seek him out. We need to be those that seek Jesus. Thank you for listening. Please come back tomorrow for another daily reading together.